Amen. Well, the Word of God, the Bible, is a most wonderful book, containing the 66 books in all, including the Old and New Testaments, divided into over 1,100 chapters and over 31,000 verses, written by 40 authors. It is still the most popular and best-selling book in all the world. Now with over 6 billion copies in print. Why is this so? Why do people even read the Bible? Or why, at the very least, do they desire to have a copy in their home? A copy to call their own? I put it to you because it is simply because of these simple facts. It is real. It is relevant. You see, there's nothing taking place in the world around us today in which we live that hasn't been addressed before in the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And while the Bible was completed approximately 1900 years ago, its accuracy and its relevance for today remain unchanged. The Bible is the objective source of all revelation of God. It has been given to us about Himself and His plans for humanity. The Bible is the description God gave us about who He is and His desires and plans for humanity. The most significant portion of this revelation is the story of our separation of God by sin, way back there in the fall in the Garden of Eden, and then His provision for us, those of us who are called unto Him, who are saved through that sacrifice of a Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the shedding of blood upon the cross at Calvary. Our need of redemption does not change, neither does God's desire to reconcile a people to Himself. God's Word will never be outdated, superseded, or improved upon. Cultures change. The laws change, generations come and go, but the Word of God is as relevant today as ever it was when it was first written. Throughout the Bible, there are many records of the lives of individuals that were transformed by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their testimony as such is recorded for us in the Scripture. We think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the conversion of Saul, and last but no means least, even the conversion of the thief on the cross. But it is the account of this life, which we have just read together, the life of this woman in John's Gospel, chapter 4, that I'd like to turn your attention to in the remaining moments that we have together tonight. And simply, I just want us to look again tonight afresh at the witness of a wild woman. The witness of a wild woman. Two strangers met beside a well one evening in Samaria. One was a woman, and we don't know her name. However, the man was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I would like to draw your attention to and to consider with me this evening simply is this. This woman was nobody. She was nobody. There she was, in isolation. In verse 9 we read, How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, for which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You see, the Jews took nothing to do with the Samaritans. They despised them. They loathed them. And this woman was coming rather to the well to draw water, as was probably her daily routine. Women typically went to draw water. That was their chore, to supply water for the family household. Over in Genesis 24:11, we read there, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Although the primary function of the well in Israel were places to supply water, they also served and functioned as social gatherings, as places They could go to meet together, social meeting places. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Abraham's servant being sent out to find the wife for Isaac in Genesis 24. And where did he meet Rebecca? There he met her, at the well. And just like the Gentile widow, which we read of over in 1 Kings that fed Elijah, so too this widow, or this woman rather, before us tonight, does not have a name recorded for her in Scripture. Nonetheless, and I haven't time to go down sidelines, but just on a sideline, we should take note of those in Scripture that are unnamed. As Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones' wife always said while teaching the children, you should always learn about these people. These people that were saved, but yet unnamed for some reason, unknown to us in Scripture. Someday, if we're saved, we'll meet them in heaven. This woman at the well, that woman that fed Elijah, be a very shameful thing if you know nothing about her when you get there. We should take note to read about these people in the Bible. Even their name is not recorded for us. Despite this being 6 o'clock in the cool of the evening, when the women of the nearby town would travel out to the well to collect water. Yet we read here in verse 7 of this chapter 4, there cometh a woman, singular, as of Samaria, to draw water. You see, I believe this woman, as I've said already, had become isolated by her lifestyle. On down the chapter, we read more of the woman's background through verses 16 to 18. The Lord challenged her there of her sinful and immoral life. She had no less than 5 husbands and no longer resided with anyone, any one of them. But rather she had a partner, as we would term it today. People commenting on sin from time to time sometimes say things like, well, that wouldn't have happened back in my day. Well, friend, tonight I just want to remind you that the fact is there is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new that's happening today in the world around us that wasn't taking place way back then, all those years ago. Even as we consider the account recorded for us here in John's Gospel, this woman was a nobody. She was nobody. In the eyes of the people around her, she had isolated herself by her sinful lifestyle. You know, she was quite possibly known even for miles around because of how she lived her life. Oh, this woman we read of tonight, which we have read of rather tonight, was in a lowly estate. A lowly estate, morally speaking. You know, she was at rock bottom. Perhaps tonight I'm speaking to someone like that even tonight in this gathering. Perhaps you're dressed well and look the part, but you've got yourself into a low state of sin. Maybe you're found living a lifestyle like this woman. She had isolated herself. Have you become isolated in life? Isolated because of the way that you are living your life, because of the grip sin has taken upon you. Surely the devil is a hard taskmaster. Perhaps you've come even tonight to this gospel meeting just to appease someone. Someone asked you to come, invited you to come along to hear the singers. Come to the gospel service. You've just come to satisfy them because they're so kind to offer you an invitation. But you don't even want to be here. You're like this woman at the well. You're nobody. You're isolated because of your sin. Nobody's special at all in the eyes of the world. Just like this Samaritan woman. But praise God tonight, friends, there was a change took place. She met somebody. She met somebody and there's a transformation. She met somebody, and that somebody being the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7 we read there, there cometh a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. But look what happened as we look down through verses 13 and to 15. And the Savior sought to reveal himself to her. She didn't get it. She thought Christ was speaking of water in the physical sense. She thought that, well, this was a good idea. She got water, that she would never be thirsty again. She wouldn't have to go and carry it again. She wouldn't have to bring the animals to drink at it again. She would have all... The practicalities of the whole thing would be very helpful. Maybe you're here tonight, and this is just an illustration of you. You're a good church attender. Come to the church regular. Anytime the doors are open, you come in through them. You get down into your seat. You smile away and you sing away. Just part of the furniture here. I commend you for your attendance, your presence in the meeting. But I simply ask you one question. Have you ever drank of the water of life? The prophet Isaiah reminds us over in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, that wonderful verse, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye." And I was just looking, there's three comes there in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, come, ye thirsty one tonight, and drink freely of the water of life." You see, as the old preacher once said many years ago, you can be dedicated or vaccinated, you can be catechized or baptized. You can be even near the water or even in the water, but never drink of the water. Is that not so true of the life in our day and generation, even we live today, many? When through waters of baptism as a child, perhaps christened, perhaps you know the catechism inside out tonight, you can quote it. Perhaps you can quote large portions of the scripture. But tonight, you've never drank of the living water as it is freely offered to you in the gospel. Is it not time you drank of that water as it is prescribed to the sinner there in verse 14 of the chapter we've just read together? "But whosoever drinketh of the water which I give shall never thirst." You see, it's not enough, men and women and young people, to tick all the boxes. Oh, it's so easy to do. Tick all the boxes in the physical sense, in the outward sense, in the whole thing looks good. Been found always in church. But have you met with Christ? That's the question. Has the transformation taken place in your heart, in your life? Has there been an evident change? Can you look back to a time in your life when you were saved? You can, perhaps you don't even know the date. But you know there was a time, there was a place, and you were saved. We can know that we can have eternal life, and we can be sure. We have no need to hope that we're going to heaven. Have you repented of your sin tonight? I trust that you have. We see here in verses 25 and 26, the scales lifted from this woman's eyes. As we see there, "And the woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." And perhaps tonight, you know, the penny never has dropped with you. You've been here all these years. You've been coming and going even to this place, perhaps on the Sabbath evening, in under the gospel, been preached. But you've never realized that one which the preacher seeks to uplift from this pulpit week by week. In the verse 26, "I that speak unto thee am he." Seeks to point you to Christ. We seek to lift Christ up before thee tonight. You know, she sees the Savior for who he really is, the Messiah, the chosen one. And in an instant, she goes from being nobody special. in the eyes of the world, in isolation, to becoming that child of the King. She met with Christ. That transformation took place in her heart and in her life. She had drank of the water of life. She would never thirst again. And friend, tonight, that can be you. That can be you tonight. Regardless of your age. No matter how old you are, how young you are in this meeting. If you will hear God's voice, harden not your heart. But call on to Him. You know, the gospel message supersedes and crosses all barriers, whether they be moral, social, or religious. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. You know, one of the key concepts found throughout John's gospel is life. Life. The word life is mentioned over 36 times throughout the book. G. Campbell Morgan, the minister of Westminster Chapel in London, the predecessor of the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, said this: mankind needs air, water, food, and light in order to have life. And men, women, and young people tonight, yet the Lord Jesus Christ provides for all those who come unto Him by faith all those things. Look there with me in John's Gospel, the breath, the spirit of life, John 3 and the verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He's the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, John 6 and 48. He's the light of life, John 1, 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And here, even in the chapter we've just read together, the water of life. He's all those things to the child of God. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, to him shall never thirst. What a transformation we see in the life of this dear woman. Oh, the woman that met the Lord. Such a change in her life. She left home that morning, and nobody in isolation. Met Christ, and there was that great transformation. And you know, that can still happen to you even tonight here in Portadown Free Presbyterian Church. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Christian, do you believe it? The Lord is still in the soul-saving business. A sinner saved by the grace of God was this woman. And you too can go home from this place safe for time and for God's eternity. But what did this woman do next? What did she do next? Oh, there's nobody. Isolation. She met somebody and there was that great transformation. But what did she do? She told everybody. She told everybody. The proclamation. And you know, even as our friends were singing there, that's what we are to do if we're saved. Live it out. Tell it out. She told her friends and her neighbors of her encounter with Christ. Perhaps you're even asking now, but Simon, how can I be saved? Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is this not what this woman did? Oh, she was nobody. In isolation, she was living a life of sin until she met somebody. And that transformation took place there at Jacob's well as she encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, as he revealed himself to her. Showed him who he really was. Showed her our sin. Is that what's taking place at the moment as I preach? The Lord's revealing to you even your sinful state before a thrice holy God. Oh, this woman was saved that day and she told everybody. And she went out. She proclaimed what had happened. Indeed, extended the invitation there in verses 28 and 29. And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, those of who she knew and was known among, I expect, because of her immoral lifestyle, come and see. Come see a man. which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Well, she went her way. She told the people in the city of Christ. And we see there the outcome in John 4 in the verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." They believed on Christ just by hearing this woman's testimony. And you know, many of us shy away, and the preacher included. Sometimes we're in a situation and we get cold feet. And we should share a word for the Lord, and we are hindered by the devil. We make excuses. We use the devil sometimes as an excuse. Sometimes we just don't have the guts. And we share it. We miss our opportunity. Perhaps we're not living as we should, and we spoke of that this morning. We should be, as Christians, living epistles that are able to be read by all men of the work that has taken place in our heart and lives. And here was a wild woman. The transformation had taken place in her life. She had met with Christ. And she couldn't hold it in, but she had to share it, and she had to tell it. Maybe we're saved for many years and we've lost that joy and we've lost that excitement. May God forgive us. John Gill, commenting on this verse, says, "The account she gave was so plain and honest that they could not but give credit to it. They concluded he could be no other than Christ." So friend, no matter where the Lord has placed you, take your opportunity to serve the Lord. Samaria was a most unlikely place in the world at that time that one would have expected to find one convert to Christ, never mind many. When was the last time we invited someone along to the gospel service? When was the last time we shared a word of testimony? When was the last time we handed out a tract? When was the last time we even showed someone we cared? As Christians, sometimes have we not even lost the love of God as it should flow through us? We come across cold and callous. May God forgive me for times in my life. This woman, there she was. That morning, nobody. Met somebody. And then straight out and told everybody of the transformation, the change that took place in her life. You know, it was a wonderful thing to note that even when at the early part of the reading there we read he must needs go through Samaria, the Lord went out of his way to save this woman. And you know, when over in Matthew 10 and verse 5, when Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, it says there that these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." And you know, friends, tonight, thank God this prohibition, or this ban rather, from the Savior was only temporary. But you know, people tell me they'll get saved when they want to. And there's people I've witnessed to and spoken to for many years, and they tell me nicely sometimes they don't want to hear, and sometimes not so nicely. Some others say they'll get saved on their deathbed. Some others say they'll get saved when it suits them. Here we see there was a time when this woman was to be saved. He must needs go through Samaria. He went and the woman was saved. So I challenge you tonight, in conclusion, now's the time to be saved. If the Lord's speaking to you, don't put it off another night, another moment. Perhaps you have your own plans, you have a whole lot of things in your mind you want to get through before you get saved. I trust the next time you read this passage, You remember the witness of this wild woman. The woman who was nobody there in her isolation. Who met somebody in the... There was that transformation in her life when she met the Lord Jesus Christ. Who changed her life forever. So much so that she had to go and tell everybody. Her proclamation. I trust tonight in the meeting that you have a testimony. You've met with Christ. You're born again. And if you have, that you'll not be a coward, you'll tell it. You'll tell it. Tell of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your life. You let your light shine as a glowing testimony of what Christ has done for you, how he saved you, how he has kept you. If you're not saved tonight, I exhort you not to leave without getting right with God. Be sure that you're ready for heaven.